Rika
Ivanishin.
Ivanishin. The date is April 5th, 2003, and the time is 12 o'clock, and this is tape one, side one. Okay, so I'm going to begin just with the basic questions. What is, this is redundant now, but your name and your age?
Enrique Ivanishin, that's my name, and I was born in 1947.
Okay. What month?
May.
May.
13.
Oh, okay. That's my my baby brother's birthday.
Oh.
May 13th.
Okay. We are Taurus.
Uh-huh, Taurus. And he was born on a Friday.
Oh, wow.
Friday the 13th, yeah. So, supposedly a bad omen. Mm-hmm. How many people are in your immediate family?
Well, I have my husband, mm-hmm. and my children, and my mother, I considered to also mm-hmm. Be part of them.
Okay.
As,
and what are their names?
Stephen. Mm-hmm. Stephen is my husband.
Okay.
Wendy is my oldest daughter. Stevie uh-huh. is my youngest son.
Okay. And your mother?
Adela.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, let's see, how would you describe your work or what you do?
My work?
Mm-hmm.
Would I make my living?
How you make your living, uh-huh.
I work for the University of Pennsylvania. I am the business administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it's a very interesting way that I have come to be part of the center. Because as I was growing up and raising my children, I have to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I wanted to be available for my children. I mean, we needed the money,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I needed to be with my children, and I needed a job that it can be like flexible, that I didn't feel I had to be committed to, I have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the children were sick or out of school or just an event, mm-hmm. a school event, I wanted to be there mm-hmm. at all times. So I decided to go as a temp from an agency because I did not want to commit. I'm a very committed person. When I take something, I give it all
mm-hmm.
to that, whatever I'm doing. I'm very committed, and I didn't want to feel that, and it's not fair for the employer as well,
mm-hmm.
Because people has to be committed. They are not, but they should be.
Right.
So I start as a temp, and then I came to work for a Temple University, as a matter of fact. It was my center was at that time.
Oh.
Actually, it was a sort of clinic,
mm-hmm.
And I was temping the director of that center.
Mm-hmm.
It was bigger, it wasn't my center yet. And what happened is that the director retired.
Okay.
And they nominated a one down and they brought from Canada. It was supposed to be very good for the center and all that. And he got a better job. And he stayed like 6 months and he resigned.
Oh.
So this center really needed a person very energetic and very, very special person.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not such a person. So the center sort of got divided into three parts.
Okay.
At the same time, it came a decision. Even though we belong at Temple, mm-hmm. We were located at MCP. I don't know if you're familiar with. MCP is, it used to be the Women's Hospital, I think, Women's Medical Hospital.
Oh.
That was, and that is still is on Henry Avenue.
Okay.
And it's really a nice hospital. Now it's with Hahnemann. Oh, it's a history of that hospital
right.
as well. So at that time, they sort of like ask us to, we have to leave or be part of MCP or move with Temple. where temple is located.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss, who was also growing and developing at that time, decided why not I make my center and stay with MCP.
Okay.
So the other three people moved with temple and we stayed with MCP. And I think that was about around 1986.
Okay.
Yeah. But before that, I was working for this big clinic and all these things were changing. This person from Canada hired me as a temp because I was very specialized in people who were tough. It seems that I was able to cope with them, so he requested me. But and then when he left, and I was just temporarily, he asked me for to be permanent. But like I said, my children were important. To be with them was very important, and just a little money will help me, but I needed to be with my children. So. And then when he left, I came to work for this woman who is my current boss.
Okay.
As a temp, still, I didn't want a part-time job. Or I mean, it was a full-time job. I didn't want any permanent job.
Right.
So, in the meantime, she's a very tough woman, very, very tough woman. And she couldn't keep anybody. So I was leaving, like, it will be my last day, and then she will call me on Monday. I had to come back. And then she will ask me, why don't you stay as a permanent? And I say, no, I can't, because I really don't, I will feel that I have to commit to you. I cannot take a day off. And you are the person who likes the person who lives there, and I can't give you that.
Right.
And I can't. So finally, she was so persistent, and I said, well, I have, this is what I need, and I had to be able to just leave when my children are sick. I leave. When my children have an event or a trip in school, I leave. And I don't want to hear then, you know, this is our agreement under those conditions, otherwise I can't work for you. And she accepted. And I, oh, it was part-time. I also just wanted like half a day.
Okay.
And she accepted because it was hard to get anybody for her. People say 1 day, 2 days, a week. And they were quit. It was just, and it's not just the work. The work is a lot. It's really a tough job because she is very energetic and she gets involved in a lot of things.
Right.
And so we have a lot of work. But that's not the bad part. The bad part is that also you have to cope with her personality.
Right.
She's very demanding.
Okay.
And so the combination of being involved in so many things, and you have to keep up with all those things, with deadlines and their needs, and then having to cope with a personality. That's where the job is very, very unique. It's not too much the work itself.
Right.
So we did that. I said, I will try, and if it doesn't work with me, and then I will leave. And she was good to me. She was very good to me. Like I said, I used to take off when the children needed me. But when they were like at home, she would say, oh, bring them here. So
bring them to work.
I brought my children to work, which they didn't mind because it was a change. It was a big deal for them. So it was, I will either bring them, or if they were sick, of course not, or go to the trip. And whenever she gave me a hard time, I would say that was our agreement. And she really gave me the flexibility of doing that.
Great.
And I'm a person very energetic, so I like a job that you like have to be on the go all the time. And not too many jobs are like that. I've been working a long time, and this job was you have to move constantly, and you have to be involved in several projects, and you were like they call me an octopus sometimes because you have to be here, there, everywhere, and there is problems, and you have to solve those problems as they come, and you have to do your projects as well, and the days goes by very fast. Than when you do that,
it's,
I really think it's good to be very, very busy, because if you're not busy, and then it's boring. Life is boring.
Let me ask you this. Have you always gone in? I noticed that your schedule now, you 3 days a week, you go in extra early.
Yeah.
Have you done that for this job? Has that always been?
Oh, no. Well, you know, when you have children, I had to make sure the children were on the bus. And then I had to come home before the children were
Before they got home from school, okay.
And my mother was here too, but I think they really needed me. And also, they were involved in a lot of activities. Mm-hmm. My mother helped me tremendously with the house, with dinner. Dinner was ready most of the time. Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, without my mother, we probably wouldn't have eaten good food.
Right.
But she will not drive the children. She will not, and they were like in sports and every sport.
Right.
They were taking piano lessons, and any other activities. So we were pretty even with the school, I was very, very involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, my vacations, I used to spread it out, my days of vacation, mm-hmm. to be, sometimes, like every 2 weeks, I would go to school the whole day just to help out.
Mm.
And that was my vacation, part of my vacation. Instead of having like a week or two
right.
weeks, I would do that.
So
it was, she was good. So it wasn't like too much of the kind of, I was attracted to the job. It was more like we were connected somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And once I became part of that center, she also was growing with the center.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that we built the center together. Mm-hmm. My boss and a couple other doctors and myself,
mm-hmm.
We used to discuss, shall we do this, shall we do that? I was part of all the decisions and future plans, because we were only four people.
Mm-hmm.
And she developed tremendously. I mean, we had a center of 32 persons right now.
Wow.
And we have grants that are like somewhere from $250,000 to $500,000 a year.
That's significant.
I mean, we grew enormous. We were like a little $100,000 a year grant center.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We were like four people.
Mm-hmm.
So we become like a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I become part of that. Like, it's not going to be easy for me to just leave my job, because it's much more. I really, really
mm-hmm.
belong there.
Right.
I'm putting my roots there.
Right.
And I really feel proud of myself in the respect that I'm also a person who likes to do community service. I like to be involved with people. I like to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I like all that. So I said, what better job than to do it with this job, because we do help people.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, we have people who doesn't have income. Mm-hmm. We try to give them a break, and I get very involved in that.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, just last week, there was a woman from Colombia who understood like you in English very well, the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
But she couldn't express herself well in
English.
So they asked me if I was willing, and things like that. I just go and I say, sure, you know, that's what we are here to help out people.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat at the interview. She was in Colombia. We did it by conference call.
Okay.
And I think, you know, those, you help people, and sometimes they call me Spanish speaking people, and I try to look
mm-hmm.
for places where I can send them. So, and even to English,
okay.
And even English speaking people, I always like, if they have a problem, I have to work with them,
mm-hmm.
Especially financially, if they have a problem, I have to find a way.
Right.
And that's not my job, really.
This right. is
because I'm the kind of person I like mm-hmm. to feel that I'm making a difference to some people. Yeah.
So what is the name of the center? I don't know if we got the name.
CPSA, It's a Center for the Treatment and Study of Anxiety.
That's right.
Okay.
And your job title, your official job title, because I know you do more than just...
And that's so true. Business administrator is my title, and I'm supposed to take all the, about the finances of the center. But I feel that, like I was telling one of the business administrator, because they don't understand, my job is unique. And I'm not saying because I feel special. Anybody who works in my center, they can feel that it's not like a very typical center. Because we have to be able to do many things, and we have to be able to do things at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not that I'm making, a lot of people say, oh, we all are busy. No, with my boss, it's like you could be like in a serious project and she wanted you to get up and open the door for her, you know what I mean? Like, which it may sound ridiculous, but and if you want to be there and you, and if she's happy, we all are happy.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. And sometimes, of course, people get annoyed with that. And you tell her that you're working on a project, but it's still, the interaction is there.
Right.
And you have to be able to cope with those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it is different than many. It's more hectic,
right.
More busy, more... and she is also, I think... probably won't put this, but I feel that she's a workaholic, even though she doesn't admit that she is.
Right.
She lives, she dreams, she that's her life.
Right.
Okay, and sometimes I remind her, this is not our life, we also have other
right.
lives.
This is our job.
I mean, this is good for me, and I'll do anything for my center, out of my way if I had to stay late and all that. But I also have another life.
Right.
Then I like to keep it.
Keep balance.
So, the balance, exactly. So I think it was sort of like destiny that put us together, and then I start enjoying and I start seeing the importance, what we make, the difference we make to society, because we do make it dramatic. Difference with all our studies. You get studies for rape and crime victims. So we are helping, we are studying those cases, making people get better and function with their life, and I'm part of that.
Right.
So I am...
That's the post-traumatic research.
Yeah.
Okay.
We specialize in all anxieties, but it's obsessive-compulsive disorder. I would think that my boss was considered the founder of treatment for obsessive-compulsive. We were at one time the only clinic in the whole country
that
we did. And we have patients from all over the place, all over the world. We have from Vietnam, from England. Right now we have from Germany. So we are very, we have reached out. My boss is international now. So I like to feel that I was part of some of this growth. And it wasn't, I don't feel it wasn't in anything financially beneficiary to any of us, because we still make him low, probably,
right.
No income.
Right.
But it's just that we have made our richness in different, in a different way. It's like we have made a difference in people's life. And I still would like to be part of that until... I guess until I'm ready to move
right.
to something new. But... I had been offered, so as a matter of fact, after we were part of MCP, I started, I think, in 83. I can give you the exact late. My son was about 2 or 4, so about 83. But we became MCP at 86. And we were doing fantastic. The hospital was one of the toughest one in the city of Philadelphia, for women especially, and that's what we were concentrating a lot. And what happened, I don't know if you read in the newspaper, it became a sort of corporation. They were starting to get a lot of hospitals together, which still were doing fantastic. However, the president took a lot of the money that it shouldn't have taken. It went bankruptcy. So it became, from MCP became Allegheny
okay.
University. And now I think it's part of Drexel and Hahnemann.
Okay.
It still exists, the MCP.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, they took a lot of the money of our studies, of the, it was, they didn't take the grant because they couldn't,
right.
They would have to go to jail for that.
Right.
But there was other monies, funds, than it was for our rainy days,
mm-hmm.
than we have, like when we didn't have enough money from grants.
Right.
And they took that money,
mm-hmm.
it just disappeared. And then my boss had to make a decision very quickly because the future of the hospital was uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know if it was going to be a hospital. And she got approached by several places, Temple, one, Hahnemann, Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And she negotiated and she thought that it was the best for us to go with University of Pennsylvania. And I went with that in July, officially with July 1st of 99, we became part of Penn.
Okay.
However, Penn was not ready for us. The building was not, the building was there, but the offices were not there. And it was the worst year of my life. I almost quit that year. It was, I wasn't a business, see, this is a bigger title that I was. I was running the show there, but it was a small thing. The way that MCP process everything, they will do it for us, everything, like payroll, buy anything. We just have to process, like purchase order, check request, everything. And they will do, and send it, mm-hmm. and they will do everything
to
for
the business
us.
Office.
Yeah, mm-hmm. everything. So we were like, we were running the show, but we had some control, but we had different departments to do things for
mm-hmm.
us. From purchasing to the grants, we will build the grant, we will develop the grant, but
mm-hmm.
there, it will be reviewed for a very tough committee
mm-hmm.
and say, well, this you shouldn't have done that. So we didn't really control the whole thing. We developed,
mm-hmm.
we initiate, we created,
right.
but we knew that we don't have to be so perfect because it was very different departments
mm-hmm.
and we had to review. So my job was not as intense as it was, it is now.
It is now.
So when we first started moving, I had to work in two places. I was the only one from my centers who had to learn all the system from the new place. And on top of that, maintain my work at MCP. So right away, and I had to make decisions like with the Xerox machine to the telephones to the wiring to the computer and like.
While they were when they were making the new office, you had to make
office,
all of those
so
decisions.
So I had to go every at least twice or three times a week
mm-hmm.
to Penn and then go to MCP. It was like very chaotic, and I thought that was the worst
mm-hmm.
of my life at that moment. I said, well, once I get. It's over, we are okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have, she was very good at, she always sent me with one doctor, and
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't make all those decisions by
right.
myself.
Right.
I didn't know nothing about electronics, about computers. I learned very quickly.
Mm-hmm. You had to.
Not because I had took a course, it's because I was present to like, Xerox machine, we have to pick up Xerox machine. What do we need?
Mm-hmm.
We need this. A telephone, we had to need it. We need this, that. We have to really very quickly, but I was lucky that I can take one of the faculty members for different
mm-hmm.
things, but I have to be into everything.
Right.
And my boss will go to make the negotiations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So July 1st comes and no place to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then MCP is asking us to leave. What we had to do is we had to negotiate for 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
for well at that time we didn't know like how long it will take
mm-hmm.
because they always say it will be ready next
it'll
week
be ready
it will
next
be ready,
week,
next,
be ready
week.
Next week
I was going every week so finally we moved I believe it was like the third week of July
mm-hmm.
the day my daughter has to go to Peru
mm-hmm.
I scheduled for months to take this day off
mm-hmm.
okay. Of course not. That day we moving, and I have to be first making sure that everything is in the trucks, And second going, I say, oh, they make sure that they put everything
where it needs to be.
And the doctor who was number one in helping me, arranging it, and worked for many years with this man, that's the man who now is in the National Institute of Mental Health, Dr. Michael Kosak.
Okay.
He was my help. We worked together so good, and he will think if I didn't forget one thing, he will cover that, whatever. I forgot, and he announced that he's resigning. About not even a month before we moved.
Ouch.
It was totally
devastating. So it was all on your shoulders.
For me. I cried because I didn't, and then on top of, and he was my friend, and he still is my friend. On top of that, my boss was somewhat resentful that he shouldn't have done that to us, considering that she has asked him before we moved whether or not it was a good decision,
right.
And he agreed
the timing
with a good decision.
It was very bad.
It was good for the center, he was trying to explain to her, but it's not good for him personally.
Right.
And he has a better offer.
Right.
She didn't understand that. It was a very hard, and then I couldn't say anything about him or her because I was sort of in the middle. He was pretty cool. He didn't, as a matter of fact, he helped me out even, he stayed with us those 3 weeks.
Okay.
Trying to help us. He delayed his starting time for the Washington. So he was great to me, and I appreciate for that. My boss was so hurt about the whole. He was his right hand for treatment and other projects.
Right.
So it was like we lost a part of the center.
Right.
And then here I had to take responsibility of many things because my boss makes the big decisions, the negotiation, but really everything else, it goes into other people.
Right.
So therefore it was from keys to computer.
Right,
to
every little decision, every little
component. And the transition. So it was very hard. That day was the hardest day of my life because I had to rush. And I had to move in my van things that we think it was delicate and it couldn't go in the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented a big truck just for our stuff. We put most of the things, most of the files by a company, but things that she didn't want and we didn't feel that it has to be in the truck, we had to do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So all the doctors helped. It was a fantastic help. It would ensure someone drove the truck, the other loaded. I had to put everything in my truck. My daughter's,
it was like a family moving.
Exactly. My daughter's bags were in there. And here I went to drop it off and then go to Penn and unload the things for my company. And the fun part is everybody asked me, that was like I was going through menopause as well.
Uh-huh.
And they said, have you have like this hot flashes and all that? And I said, to tell you the truth, I don't know, because I think it happened in July of 99.
Uh-huh.
But I was so busy in and out, it was very hot, and I was constantly hot and cold in the air conditioning office and hot outside. I probably went through those hot flashes during that period, but I don't know.
Difference. Right.
And they were laughing and cracking up at everybody because I really don't know. It probably was at that period I was doing that.
With all of the stress and all of that going on, who knows?
Exactly. Finally, we settled, and that was the beginning of the worst period of my time. I didn't know how worse it would be. Because the company went, the hospital was MCP and then Allegheny, and then now Hahnemann / Drexel. The grant itself, because we had to move our grants, the grants had to be moved like that as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's already like December and we don't have the grant, we don't have any money. The university provides us a certain amount of money, but
operating
it was going
costs.
Down because they thought in 2 or 3 months we can have our own money.
Right.
The first employees of the first MCP disappeared because there is no more MCP. I could not contact and we need papers. So it was the worst year of my life. And my boss, who is not very patient, mm-hmm. were like very demanding, why is mm-hmm. not, this is not done, and you have to do, and I am doing, but I'm not moving. And
right.
So I got to the point that at that point I said, you know what? I don't need this job. And I was with tears. I said, I like this place. I like very much. But if you can find somebody, and I say serious, I'm not upset, I'm not mad, and I'm not going to be resentful. If you can find somebody better than me, by all means hire right now, and I will help out for the process.
Mm-hmm.
I can no longer do it, because I'm doing everything I can possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, every time, because she's very, very impatient,
mm-hmm.
I was coming every morning, and I was telling to these people, and I said, you talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't also understanding, and I couldn't get anywhere.
Right.
Finally, I said, you have to hire somebody if you think somebody can do the job better than I, because mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to have nervous breakdown.
Right.
I was climbing almost in. Okay, so it was the hardest period of my time. I got myself sick. I went with, even though they say it can happen to anybody, but I really think it was my load resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I was in emergency appendicitis. I never get sick.
Right.
And I was sick. And she was more and my relationship with her has enormously improved.
Mm.
He's very cautious with me because I think I was to the verge of like...
At that point.
I couldn't do anymore. Mm-hmm. And later on, like, the plans will move, and I think we're doing very wonderful.
Right.
We're growing more and more.
Right.
And really, really, I like where we're going,
cool.
how we stand at this point.
Okay. So, where originally are you from?
That's another story. Okay. I was born in Lima, Peru.
Mm-hmm.
My family comes from Cusco,
mm-hmm.
the part of my mother's side. I went back to Cusco because my mother was very, very ill, and they thought that Lima was not good for her, and my mother wanted to die in Peru, and we went back to Cusco.
Mm.
And that's where I stayed my high school years, the best years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask me, the first thing I think is, I'm from Cusco, but I'm not really.
Right.
I am from Lima. I was born in Lima, but I consider myself
Cusco is home.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful city.
Okay. When did you come to the United States?
I came with one-way ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I just got out from high school. I was 17 or 18, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. 66. September 66. Because I graduated in 65. Yeah.
Okay.
66.
And what were your reasons for leaving home and coming here?
To look for a better life.
Mm-hmm.
I have an aunt here who she helped me a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
She offered me to bring me here. Of course, I had to work, and she will just help me, providing me the ticket, which I had to pay her when I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact to provide me that,
mm-hmm.
She said you can go to school, and there is a better life financially here,
mm-hmm.
better opportunities. So it was just my mother and me, and it was very sad for me to make that decision. But we thought, my mother and I, we thought that it was the best to change our life. Otherwise, there was nothing for me in Peru, as far we didn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go to college. There's no jobs. So there was nothing really. I have to move on. I had
right.
to make a change. And at that point, I didn't know what. And then it came to my aunt, if you want to come here, I can help you out. I can provide you with the ticket. And when you come here, you know, we can work out the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I can help you out with a job. And I figure I don't have any other plans. I don't have money because we didn't have money.
Right.
So I said, we talked about it with my mother. It was a very, very hard decision because it was just my mother and me. And to separate each other, it was very, very hard. So So I left.
Well, what was going on in Peru at the time limiting the opportunities, or was it economics? Or
economics, I think, in Peru, unfortunately, is a very, like a friend of mine just told me last week, it's such a rich country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the government, who manages the country,
mm-hmm.
And not just, I don't think just the president is the right. whole thing, that they don't do a good job because mm-hmm. the country is rich.
Right. With resources.
It's resources. We have everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oil, fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, the location is so good. So we have three wonderful areas, which is the coast with mm-hmm. with fishes. And we did export the atún.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fish, bonito, actually.
Bonito.
Exported. And the flour, and we had
fertilizer. There was fertilizer, yeah. And
so it was the cost. We mm-hmm. have wonderful all you can have from the sea,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the mountains,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of agriculture,
mm-hmm.
And that's where I come from, Cusco.
Mm-hmm.
You can plant just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in some places, they're all year round because there is areas that it's always spring and summer, spring and fall, excuse uh-huh. me, which is a beautiful, it's probably the best place in the world, I think, at this point, I feel. No Cusco itself, because Cusco can get cold, it's the outside of Cusco that agriculture, you can plant anything and you can grow anything.
Uh-huh.
So we are rich in that. We have, you know, the llama, alpaca, vicuña, those are our main,
mm-hmm.
our original animals, mm-hmm. they come from there. And then we have the jungle, and you know what's in the jungle, all the many medication comes
right.
from the jungle, and it's hot, and we have a lot of food. So we have so much of natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a poor country, it's just the people are not doing their job.
Right.
And it's, I don't think I can, I hate to say that, but I don't think I can remember a good economy ever.
Never.
We always are struggling and we don't need to do so. So that's the reason to look for a better world,
mm-hmm.
for opportunities. This is the land of opportunity.
Right.
We all know, we all come here for
right.
that reason, I
right.
think. So that's the reason I came, even though it was the hardest decision
mm-hmm.
of my life at that point.
So did you come directly to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Okay.
My aunt helped me, and she picked me up from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And she already had a job for me to start on Monday.
Wow.
I think I came Saturday, I arrived either Saturday or Sunday. It was a weekend because she also had work and she wanted to be available for me when I come and
mm-hmm.
spend a day or so.
Okay.
But she had a friend and she said, I was a kid actually, never
right,
worked
a teenager.
In my life. And I never worked in my life. And over there, you probably come from the same culture. We treat our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the whole thing was very, very, very hard for me. And one lady, her friend said, I'm on vacation, so why don't you let her stay a week with me and I will explain to her, give her a little introduction to the country, because
mm-hmm.
that's what it was. And she accepted, and so she called the lady. I was going to be a babysitter, watch some children, live there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nanny, I guess you can call.
Mm-hmm.
And this other lady, her name was Bertha, and she took me that week, and her husband and her, she was on vacation, so we went a little around the city. She took me, she explained to me how it wasn't McDonald's, but it was a fast food place,
mm-hmm.
and she took me. I was amazed, like the girls were in roller skates serving. I don't think you have that anymore.
No. I've seen it,
they
though.
Will come to you window, and then they will bring you the food at the window. I was like, wow, you know, I'm in another world. And what amazed me too is that we went to New Jersey. I don't know why we went to New Jersey, to visit her friend, I think. And then as we were approaching the bridge, which one was that? I think it was the one that opens.
Oh, it's not the Betsy Ross.
Could be the Taconic?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Either the Taconic or Walt Whitman.
Walt Whitman, yeah.
I was totally amazed at this, oh my God, technology, advancement of this country. Like, it was fantastic. Oh. So every little thing was wow for me. Mm-hmm. I was really very, very impressed with the country. That was just for a week.
Right.
After that, when I started working and no one in my place knew Spanish, no one word Spanish. And I took a couple courses in English, but never to talk. Oh my God. I cried, and I was the most I was so lonely in those times that I wanted to go home.
Really?
And my view was save as much money as you can possibly can in 1 year or so, move back, and open a business or something, you know. Mm-hmm. That was my plans.
Right.
Yeah.
So you chose Philadelphia because your aunt was here.
Because my aunt was here. And then once I got here, I went to New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., what other I say? And I like those states. I think they're very interesting states. But I don't know. I started putting my roots, I guess, here. Mm-hmm. Started having friends. My aunt was here. Like, it's important to have family. Then, even though a couple of my friends said, let's move to New York. It's just, I like to visit New York, but just to visit.
Right.
Yeah. And I will never live in New York.
Do you remember how long your aunt had been here? At that time?
Oh my God. That's a good question. She was quite a while, and she had a rough life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody spoke in Spanish in those times. There were not too many Latinos. She said she would just, in her day off, would go to the park and cry. It was hard. And it was a lot of discrimination.
Right.
They talk about discriminating blacks. We are just as bad.
Mm-hmm. So did she come in the 50s, you think, or even before then?
I came in the 60s, so maybe even before.
Okay.
Even before. You know what? She's in Peru now. I'm going to call her.
Okay.
She was here for a long time. Because of her, many of my family came directly or indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
She helped one. I helped two. That person helped two. We came, and for the same reasons, you know.
So your better opportunity. Your aunt was the first
one
root or point, and then you followed. You were the second.
All, yeah.
So you came by airplane when you first came to the United States.
I'm not sure if I was the second one, but I came with her. So she helped. I guess other relatives came as well on their own and stuff like that.
Okay.
And she had helped others too, but I was just with her.
With her.
The second generation, I guess. She was the first generation, I would consider. But I think I was the third one that she helped. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many years does that mean you've been here in Philadelphia?
66. 70, 80, 90. Oh my God. 30?
37, maybe? 37 years?
That's a lot. I never even, more than the years I was in Peru.
So now you are living, we call this Bensalem?
Yeah.
Bensalem.
I live in Philadelphia almost until I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I live with families then, because I was a nanny, so I live with them.
Okay.
I didn't, especially at the beginning, I didn't live with my aunt. But my aunt and I brought my mother to this country as well for to visit us because it was hard for us to go.
Right.
And then
they were that's sisters.
When, yeah.
Okay. Our sisters.
Our sisters, and that's when she sort of put pressure to me because I was doing well, living in those homes because you don't pay rent, you don't have to have an apartment and stuff like that. So I stayed with her. We got an apartment because my mother was coming to visit
us.
Yeah. Only for a few months I stayed with her. I stayed more with families.
With the families.
Yeah, than I work with.
Okay.
And I was going to school as well to learn, at the beginning I was to learn English, and then I took courses at Temple, at different university, and then I applied for Pierce Junior College.
Mm-hmm. And you were paying for these yourself, these courses?
Because at that point, I really didn't even know if it was any financial aid or anything like that. Everything was so new to me. I wish I can know all that now. I would take more of that benefit. I met my husband we got married in 1969. So we met in a year before. When my mother came, we were already seeing each other. And then my mother was, they denied her extension of her visa. And we didn't know, because we thought, oh, we can get married planned with time and my mother will be here. And then when we go for an application, they denied. Oh my God. So what we did, we wanted to extend for a whole year and that didn't happen. So we extended, I think, for a few months, but we tried to get married and that because I didn't know if my mother could have come. It was,
you'd have to send her back and then bring her back.
And it was like a lot of problems still with poly. Remember that Sendero Luminoso came along, different guerrillas. I don't know if at that time the Sendero Luminoso started, but it was other groups, and United States didn't want too many people, and it was more strict, so I didn't know if my mother was going to ever even come back again. So we arranged the wedding for June 14, 1969, so we can have her here.
Right.
Yeah. And she left right after, not too long after that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got married in June.
Okay. So let me, I remember last time we talked, what other areas in Philadelphia did you live in?
When I originally, my aunt lived in Olney, so even though I didn't live with her, I sort of like felt that was my place too, even though.
Olney,
So if, at the beginning it was Olney, actually. And then we live in Logan area with my husband, the first apartment. We live in Mount Erie, around Washington and Cheltenham.
Okay.
And then we live again. We came back. We bought our first home in Olney, Somerville. And then our second home, we live and we bought it in the Northeast on Cheltenham Avenue.
Okay.
And then this is our third home, which we moved. Oh my God, when my son was 7 and he's 20, he was 7, he was born in 79, so in about 86.
When he was 7. So 86 you moved out here to Bensalem.
Yeah, around that time. He went from his first grade, he started here. On his birthday. My husband's birthday, we moved.
Oh, you moved on that day?
It was
a lot of work on your birthday. Well, just how would you describe a typical day for you in Philadelphia? Your typical routine?
Routine day, well, a working day is... Now my life has changed a lot, of course. I'm more involved with it. Even though you think like, oh, the children are already older and you don't need to do, oh, you still need to do everything. I get up early. I try to go to work the earliest I can possibly can. Like I was telling you, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I normally now go early for different reasons, and to catch up. It's more peaceful at work. I am very active at work. I am in meetings, and I get involved even with other groups. I try to to learn more, and if there is workshops or seminars, I try to get involved as much, even though there is a constraint of time in my work. I think I'm more, I feel that I'm more than a business administrator. Anybody has a problem, they come to me. Like I was telling the other person, it's from anything in the bathroom to like a big decisions. I'm pretty involved on almost everything. Then people get, it's funny, one lady was one day in my office and one of the doctor asked me for something and she said, do you also have to take them by their hands to the bathroom? Because it was something very ridiculous.
Something very basic.
And I said, just about. If something breaks, they call me, okay? And among the things I have to do, and I don't take lunch. I'm supposed to leave at 3:30, because I don't take lunch. I never I just eat. I got used to it, I guess. There is times I will go out to lunch for the special occasions, but on the regular day, I don't. And I come home. I now visit my mother. She's in a rehab because, you know, she had, she fell. And so now I try to do like Tuesday and Thursday. I try to go to see her Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, and occasionally Fridays. Because Wednesday I usually take a course or something, or do work, go to a workshop or something. So. It's hard to say. So I come home. We usually make dinner on the weekend, so it's something easy, like throw something in the oven or heat something we already cook. And we eat together. We try to eat together. And my husband goes to sleep. I usually work in the computer for either something from my organization or work. Sometimes I have meetings with my organization. Sometimes I go out. It's at least once a week, something like that. It's part of my routine.
Okay.
We go out for different different things from work as well.
Okay.
Or I meet people. Weekends, I try to be in touch with my family or with people from my organization. Like tomorrow we go into the exhibit,
right?
You know, and try to maintain in contact with my extended family. As a matter of fact, yesterday my cousin from New York called me, and I'm like trying to pre-do for today, try to clean, and then we spent about a couple hours chatting because we haven't talked for a long time. So I call my family from New York.
Okay.
I have family in Washington. I have family in Philadelphia. And we keep pretty much in touch. So I try to break a week, different people. This way, we don't... I have a large family. I can't call to everybody, so...
Right. You have to kind of do a cycle.
Exactly, exactly. And because I do the cycle, and then like this particular cousin, I haven't talked for about 3 months. So we have a lot of catching up. And he's sort of my best friend too.
Okay.
And he's going through a hard time. So he's about my age. We went out, I got married with my husband, he was also getting married, and we did a lot of things together.
Okay.
We went to Miami together by car, we went to New Orleans by car, we used to hang out, see each other, visit each other a lot, and our children became also good friends. Because it's not just the you can be a family and you still don't have relationship, you have to also become friends, you know, in addition to that. So I haven't talked to him, so he called and I said, okay, I forgot about everything.
right.
And everybody was going to sleep. I said, what time are you going to sleep? Because I also take care of myself now. I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I exercise too. So I have a busy schedule even on the weekday. Right. And I have to get home by 9 because my husband doesn't go to bed until I come home. And he gets up very early.
Really?
So I have to be considerate. So whatever I am, I have to come back by 9.
Okay, now I ask you to remember. Can you remember or describe maybe a typical day back home, back in Peru?
Typical day back home.
Maybe at any point you want to remember, maybe when you were a teenager or a child.
Probably. Mainly, well, you know, over there you have about two hours for lunch. I don't know if you in Mexico, your parents have...
You have
but in most countries,
like siesta, or you just,
it's not like
hour,
that.
Right?
So it's typical, like any young person, you don't want to get up in the morning. Get up. We were not, we didn't have that much money, and we didn't have the accommodation that other people had. But even middle class people at that time, they will not have, let's say, a bathroom in your house. It will be like you have your little room or apartment, and it was a bathroom for several people. You know what I mean? So you had to get up early and like make sure that the bathroom is available for you. And Cusco is very cold, so to catch up in time, you have to like use cold water because you don't have warm water. My mother sometimes would warm up the water, but it wasn't time because also she had to make me breakfast.
Right.
So, and we only have one little stove, so you had to like not have water, have water, and Cusco is cold.
Right.
It's very cold. It can be very cold. So wash yourself and get yourself ready. We have uniforms and go to school. We had to be in school at 8. My school... Cusco at that time was not too big. You can walk with 1 hour will take you to walk from one end to the other. But my school was almost to the other end, very close. It was, my house was one end to Center City, La Plaza de Armas que llamamos. And then from La Plaza de Armas to the other end, it was, my school was halfway.
Okay.
In between that, so it will give you an idea. It will take me about half an hour, 20 minutes to half an hour. But you don't, back
each
home,
way,
you don't
rush.
Right. So you leave at 7:30 to get there at 8 o'clock, okay? We'll go to school, line up. I was in high school in Cusco, actually. And go to classes, and you are... It's not like here you change classes. You are in one class. There was just A and B, the same grade. And the teachers would change.
Okay.
Okay? So it was as chaotic. You have breaks in between, so you can go down to the patio and talk. And then my school was not very rich neither. Sometimes we didn't even have water to drink. Because something will broke. We used to have the water fountains, and if it will break, if they didn't have the money, they will not repair. You know, it was not a school, although the schools are public schools, supposed to be free, but public schools where you had to know somebody. It was very political as well. And I didn't know too much. I mean, my whole family knew someone, but they would prefer some who were a little better economically, which instead of helping me, then it was. So they will get the free ones, and I will have to pay. But this school was merely for people who with low income, which the founder of that school was a fantastic woman, gave her whole entire life to that school, never got married. We were her kids. That she founded this school and gave very minimum affordable to people who want to have education. And that's what, and we took very pride. We have actually the best schools in town because as well people from the university, the professor from the university want to do a community, good people, community mm-hmm. service. So they voluntary their hours. They would say, oh. I'll teach philosophy to the last grade for this hour. So the school will accommodate the schedule of these big professors mm-hmm. at the university. So we did have a good education. And she focused a lot in civic things. Then every weekend, we use every Saturday, part of the schooling was to give speeches. Mm-hmm. A different event of the history, mm-hmm. which I thought that was also for us to develop mm-hmm. to speak in public.
Oh, public speaking, okay.
Exactly. And that was done from the very earliest stage in that okay. school. And then we will stop at 12, go home for lunch. Uh-huh. I will leave earlier than, we will leave very quickly because we will meet in La Plaza de Armas mm-hmm. with all the girls, all my friends and the boys, but the boys will not, are not allowed to walk us together. We could not walk
okay.
with the same thing. So they will walk like behind us or in front of us and we will talk, but uh-huh. we could not show them we were walking together.
Together, side by side.
Was a big no.
Okay.
That was just girls' school.
Right.
And it wasn't a Catholic school per se. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a religious school. It wasn't a nuns' school. But they were very, very strict.
Okay.
The skirt has to be somewhere, I think, certain centimeters from the floor.
Uh-huh.
So it was like way above our uh-huh. meat. Okay, of course the girls were like lifted up
roll
by
them.
The yeah. So and then we will go earlier and we had to rush for the school because we were having such a good time.
Good time in there. The plaza.
Uh-huh. And the school will finish at 5 o'clock. I was always like, I like to be involved in activities and I will either do some sport, which I wasn't very, very good, uh-huh. but because I was so dedicated and they would always choose me, it was always some kind of activity, after school activity,
okay.
and preparation for the Independence Day. Oh, that's big over there. You prepare like months and months,
oh.
marching, all the schools are represented.
Uh-huh.
So it was always something, and then you go home, and there's a tea time at home. You have tea, you supposedly have tea right after you come to school or from school, but mm-hmm. because I was coming late, I will miss tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always have just early dinner. I always have early dinner. And then do my homework and chat with my mother. Family time is very, very important. Mm-hmm.